Greetings, everyone. This is J.L. Bryce again with the second of four episodes based on a true story called The Christmas Reengagement. Episode 2, Take 2. A week has passed since Eileen canceled our engagement after just 12 hours. It's Saturday and I'm at work and can feel my cold coming back on. I texted Eileen to let her know I was getting a relapse of my cold. She recommended that I stay home and not attend the Sherman Christmas party. I agreed and felt relieved as I could go home and get in bed. I then realized that Eileen showing up to the Christmas party without me, with all her game night friends there, would not look good for her in light of her decision to end our engagement. I started to smile at the thought of her in this pending situation. Eileen and I have always talked about celebrating Christmas away from home. So to get beyond our 12-hour engagement, I decided to make a reservation in the quaint town of Essex, about an hour's drive away. As it's a week before Christmas, I decided to get right on it and make the reservation where I can still book a room at the best place to stay in Essex, the popular Griswold Inn that has been around since 1776. I called the Griswold Inn from my car, and a lady named Ella answered the phone. I asked her if they have a queen or king room available for December 23rd and 24th. She told me the only queen room available was not in the main building, but in the annex. I agreed to take the room as it was the last room available. Ella asked me for a credit card to hold the reservation. I told her I was driving and could call in the info when I get home. Ella said she would make the reservation for me and send an email. I called in with my credit card later that evening. A couple days later, I called the inn, spoke to another clerk on duty, and asked if an opening comes up, we would like to be moved to the main building of the inn. It's now Sunday morning, and I'm busy wrapping Eileen's Christmas presents and packing for our trip. There are two things on the agenda today: Christmas Eve at the Vineyard, and afterwards going to Essex to spend Christmas at the Griswold Inn. As I load the car, I decide it would be good to bring a little Christmas to our room at the Gris, the nickname for the Griswold Inn. I go down to the basement and open my Christmas bin and pull out my little red Christmas tree with lights on it. I decide it needs an extension cord, and that would require me to go back upstairs to get one. I'm already running late as usual, so I see the stuffed Christmas tree given to me by Eileen's sister two Christmases ago. I decide that this works, close the bin, go out to the car, and text Eileen that I will meet her at the vineyard. On the way to the vineyard, I need to pick up a few things at Eileen's house for our trip. I'm thinking I should stop at her house first before going to the vineyard, but then remember Eileen drove there and will need to go home to drop off her car. So straight to the vineyard it is. I arrive at the vineyard just before 2 p.m. and see Eileen with her friends on the far side of the room sitting at a long table. I see Eileen looking in my way, but is not giving me the usual wave to come over. As I walk towards the table, Eileen gets up to greet me halfway. When I get to the table, Eileen admits that she was checking out that cute guy that just came in, then realized, oh, it's James. I ask Jan how much Eileen has had to drink. Jan laughs and holds up her hand with a 1.5-inch space between her thumb and index finger and says, this much. I go and sit down to the left of Charlene with Eileen on her right. When I sit down, Jan leans in to tell me Eileen was really checking out that cute guy. FYI, Jan has never really liked me. Everyone is in good spirits at the table, including Charlene. Food, drink, and conversation is flowing. Thankfully, no discussion of the 12-hour engagement comes up. It is approaching 3 p.m., so Eileen and I leave the group to drop off Eileen's car and drive to Essex. I meet Eileen back at her house to find she still has a little packing to do. I grab a couple things I keep at her house and pack them for the trip. Eileen tells me she has a Christmas gift for me to open when we get back. I tell her that I'm bringing my gifts for her to Essex, so it would be nice if she brought her gift for me to open. Eileen gives her usual answer, no. I tell her I'm bringing mine, and I would prefer to open her gift in Essex as we are celebrating Christmas there. Eileen pauses, then gives in reluctantly and goes to get her gift. She tells me she has just one gift for me and says, I thought this trip was our gift to each other. I confirm that it is and ignore the fact that I also bought her 3 gifts. We get past this, load up my car with her luggage, and off we go to Essex. Before we get out of town, I stop at a package store to pick up a bottle of wine for our room. At the counter, I realize I will need a bottle opener, and it might be a challenge to get one at the inn. I see a bin of plastic bottle openers, like you find in a hotel room, at the counter for $1.69. Next to them is another bin with a traditional wine key for $9.95. I tell the lady clerk I'll take the plastic one. She tells me, "You don't want that one." I reply that I only need it for one night. She whispers, "I'll give you the other one for the same price." I'm surprised but pleased and thank her. This is the beginning of our Christmas magic. On the drive down to Essex, I ask Eileen how showing up alone to the Sherman Christmas party went. I was expecting an interesting answer as Charlene and Jan knew Eileen had just canceled our engagement, but she wasn't sure if the word got out to any others. Eileen tells me that she sent out a text to Connie and Kim before the party that we want to keep the engagement on the down low. When Eileen arrives without me, they all ask, "Where's James?" Eileen explained I was sick and could not attend. Eileen wasn't sure they believed her. We arrive in Essex after an hour's drive. It's evening and the main street of Essex is decorated and lit up for Christmas like it was right out of a Currier and Ives Christmas painting. You couldn't imagine a more classical colonial town at Christmas. Not knowing where to park, I pull in behind the Griswold Inn and find a parking spot next to a handful of other cars. I suggest we leave the luggage in the car and walk around to the front of the inn to go check in at the lobby. The Griz is a large 3-story colonial white building with black shutters that was a common look in 1776. The outside is decorated for Christmas with green boughs and lights. There's an old red horse-drawn wagon on the street in front of the main entrance with a Christmas wreath on it. The sidewalk is bustling with people getting out of cars to go inside the inn. It's like a scene out of a Christmas movie, more of which we will find out later. We walk inside to find a small lobby not much bigger than a bedroom. The room is crowded with people waiting to be seated in the restaurant. We push ourselves through the crowd and step up to a small front desk where a woman is sitting at a computer. I ask if she is Ella, the woman I made the reservation with. I'm in luck, and she says yes. I remind her about that night I made the reservation. I again ask, is there a possibility of getting a room in the main building? I tell her a queen room or even a double bed would be fine. I'm willing to downgrade to a double bed as half a double bed is about the amount of space I end up with Eileen as she likes to snuggle up closer to my body throughout the night. Ella starts looking through her log of rooms. She says, I'll have to move some things around. Then says she's putting us into a king deluxe room at no extra charge. We're given 2 sets of room keys, each with 2 brass keys. Ella tells us 1 key is for our room and 1 is for the outside door to the inn and the guest lounge across the street where we can watch TV. We get our keys for room 28 and walk up to the 2nd floor where it is located. We come to our room at the end of the hall in an alcove of 3 room doors, open the door and are surprised by its enormity. There is generous walking space everywhere over beautiful dark hardwood floors and oriental rugs. There is a king bed in the middle of the room, an antique armoire, dresser, 2 nightstands, and 2 wing chairs, each with their own window. There is a view to the water, albeit over the parking lot where I park. The walls are decorated with beautifully framed period colonial artwork. We notice there is no TV in the room, which we do not miss. The bathroom is spotless and classically modern, with a legged sink, Grecian tile floor, and a large marble tile shower with heavy clear glass sliding doors. Beautiful. Needless to say, we are blown away by our good fortune to get this room. After checking out the room, we go out to find the guest lounge. As we leave our room, we meet another woman walking down the hall. She asks us if we are enjoying our stay. We mention we just got here, and Eileen asks if she is here for Christmas. The woman tells us she is here with her 3 brothers that are the owners of the Griswold Inn, and they come every year to celebrate Christmas. We ask her where we might find the guest lounge, and she starts walking us back toward the main lobby. She tells us that there have been only 4 families that have owned the Gris, and her family comes here every year to celebrate Christmas. We end up back at the main entrance and no guest lounge in sight. We think she misunderstood what we were looking for, but feel it was our good fortune to meet her. We go out the main entrance and to the car to get our luggage. I had put Eileen's luggage in the back seat as I didn't want her to see her presents and the Christmas tree I had placed in the trunk before we got to the inn. I open the trunk and start to unload my bags. Eileen sees me pull out the stuffed Christmas tree from the trunk. I tell her I thought the room could use a little Christmas decoration. I found out later this had a significant effect on Eileen. Our room is conveniently located at the top of the stairs of the back entrance to the inn. We are able to bring up our luggage in one trip. While unloading our clothes in the room, Eileen puts the stuffed Christmas tree on the narrow shelf of the armoire and places her gift for me on top of the dresser. I move the tree to the top of the dresser and arrange my gifts along with hers around the tree. I say that a Christmas tree should have presents under it. Eileen still had on the battery-powered Christmas light necklace she wore at the vineyard. She adorns the tree with this lit-up necklace. It's a perfect combination commemorating the spirit of Christmas. I call the front desk as I forgot the time of our dinner reservation I made a week ago. I find out our dinner reservation is for 7:30 this evening. It's now about 5:30, so we have plenty of time to relax before dinner. I pull out the bottle of wine, find two glasses in the bathroom, and pour a glass for Eileen and myself. As usual, Eileen is sitting on the bed, and I'm sitting nearby in one of the two wing chairs. I tell Eileen that this is the 3 days of Christmas, where she gets to open one gift each day until Christmas. She says she only brought one present for me. I say I'm fine with that, and I will open my gift on Christmas and tell her to pick out a gift to open. Eileen chooses the largest box, picks it up, and says, "This is heavy." Taking the box back to the bed, Eileen starts to carefully open the present, then decides to rip into it. She says it's such a luxury just to rip open a gift, instead of carefully opening a package where we had to save the paper for future gifts. I let her know I could relate. In the box, Eileen finds three pairs of jeans. She says she has already so many jeans she doesn't even wear. I tell her that these are the new high-waisted jeans. Eileen questions and says, "These are back in style?" I tell her yes and suggest
this is the end of episode 2.
Dark pair fit like a glove, and Eileen loves how soft they are.
In your typical Christmas life story,
also fit well.
This story with
the last pair, not so good.
But this is called the Christmas re-engagement, not the Christmas.
After trying on her new jeans, our conversation.
So what will Eileen do? Eileen telling me how she is for the second time.
Things
since find out the next episode. What?
No ring.
She tells me how my proposal really caught her off guard. And she needed time to process things.
End of episode 3.
Eileen had been going through withdrawal.
So will Eileen and James' engagement last without a ring?
So I somewhat understood.
Find out in the last
episode,
Main Street Magic.
Are you afraid of losing James? And how that got her to thinking how much I mean to her.
Eileen goes on to say, "When you pulled out that Christmas tree from your trunk, it really hit home how special you are. What man would do this? I'm never going to find another man like you. Every day is Christmas with you, James. I don't want to lose you. Will you ask me to marry you again? And I would like you to ask me on Christmas Eve." I'm taking this in slowly, as I wasn't expecting this from Eileen. I'm not so sure if Eileen's professions have lasting sincerity. I then respond with, "You're not going to say no again, are you?" Eileen reassures me and says again, "Ask me to marry you again on Christmas Eve." I pause for a moment to let it sink in that Eileen has thought this through and is sharing her true feelings and desire to marry me. I then stand up, tell Eileen, "Stand up. No one is getting on a knee this time." I pull Eileen close to me, wrap my arms around her and say, "Eileen, I love you. Will you marry me?" She exclaims, "Yes." And we kiss and hug. The engagement is back on.
This is the end of episode 2, but not the end of the story. In your typical Christmas love story, this story would have just ended. But this is called the Christmas re-engagement, not the Christmas re-proposal. So what will Eileen do after saying yes for the second time? Find out in the next episode, What? No Ring? Next Tuesday.
Well, It's cold outside and the lights are low. Everything around me is covered in the deep snow. And I'm thinking about you. Well, the gifts are laid beneath that tree. And I'm wondering to myself if you're thinking about me. Are you thinking about me? 'Cause it's not like I just wanna be the guy that you're waiting to see whenever the festivity is over. I wanna be the 12 days after one. I wanna be your drama boy, boom, 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 boom. I wanna be the end of in your room. I wanna be the North Star that you see. I wanna be the partridge in your tree. I wanna know that Christmas just ain't Christmas. Without me, without me.